A lot of you just finished finals this week, right? Raise your hand if you had finals this last week. Oh, wow, look at that. Raise your hand if you're glad to be done with those finals. Woo! All hands are up still, yeah. Tony, you need some more finals? More tests? No. No. I know he stays up so late, diligently studying. Well, we're glad you're here, and hopefully you can get some rest and relaxation this afternoon. I'm really excited to be speaking this morning. Even this morning when I got up, I was late getting here because I started looking at my sermon notes and like, boom, the stuff just started flowing. I was like, oh, I gotta write this down. I mean, anyway, so I trust and hope and believe that God's gonna speak to each of us in a great way this morning through this message, What's in a Name. So how did the congregation sing today? You guys know I just finished up my sing series. We're getting better every Sunday, and I love hearing other people sing. I hear myself sing all the time, and sometimes it's a little tiring. Maybe some of you guys get tired of hearing me sing all the time. I don't know, but I love hearing other people sing. I love children's voices singing. Wasn't that fun? Yeah. I mean, okay, now let me tell you guys. You know, I taught elementary music for 7 years, and what I was expecting of these children who are 5, 5, 4, 3, and 3, right? Yeah, is what I would like expect out of like 8 and 9 year olds. So, they for their age, they did very well. I was really excited about that. I'm kind of a slave driver during our music lessons, and especially when it comes to program time, it's like, hey, let's pay attention. We got to get this done. Who wants to have the best program in town? Me. Okay, let's do it. So, it was a lot of fun for me to get to do that again today. Anyway, as Deacon Tyler said, thank you to all those who are able to join us for the hymn sing on Wednesday at our house. I really enjoyed that, and maybe even make a tradition out of it. I think it's just so good to sing these songs of the faith. Just what a special time that was. So let's continue to enjoy this special Christmas time. I'm just going to pray once again that the Lord speaks to each of us. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can gather. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. For being born, for coming to save us. Just pray you give us soft hearts and open minds and listening ears as we listen for your voice this morning, Jesus, that you would speak to us in the importance of a name and your names and the many names that you go by and how that's so important to this Christmas season. So we pray all these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So, as Deacon Tyler said, the big idea for today, if you remember anything, going home tonight, tomorrow, what did Pastor Paul talk about on Sunday? This is it. Enjoy Jesus, Emmanuel, this Christmas season. Enjoy him. Enjoy him. It's so easy for us to go make Christmas cookies and buy presents and have relatives over and cooking meals and traveling. And I mean, we could go on and on and on. And then what happens to Jesus? He gets pushed on the back burner. And it's like, man, why are we doing all these things? And as I've grown older, I've intentionally forced, maybe isn't the right word, but I've really reminded myself of why I'm doing the things that I do. Even back in early November, when there was a nice warm day, and I thought, man, and I'm the opposite of Tyler, by the way. Like I love decorating. I love putting up Christmas lights. I love putting up our Christmas tree, and I just get excited about it. So early November, it was a nice warm day, and like, man, this should be a great day to put up Christmas lights, you know, before, so I don't have to sit out here freezing my fingers off, you know, later. And as I was putting them up, the Lord reminded me, as I'm up on this roof, risking my life, putting these lights up and thinking, Paul, I want you to be a light in this neighborhood. And these lights you're putting up are just a symbol of that. Like Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, you are the light of the world. We're supposed to be a light in this world. That's why I put Christmas lights up on my house. I want to shine in our neighborhood. And we've gone around looking at Christmas lights with our family. And, man, I don't think it's more than 1 out of 5 people, if that, could even put up any kind of Christmas lights. There's a lot of dark houses when you drive around. But the ones that are lit up, man, they stick out, don't they? Man, we saw some that were, you know, just there's just like stuff shining everywhere. You know, you wouldn't even like need any lights at all to do it. I mean, all the lights from the house were just so, and it's some of these houses, you know, we could see, oh man, at least like three blocks away, like, whoa, there's like a lot of light. So let's go over to that house, and, you know, driving around, just trying to find good houses. And it's amazing, isn't it? Like, I mean, you notice when there's a house that's really lit up, and that's how Jesus wants us to be as well. So anyway, let's enjoy Jesus this season, even in the midst of everything. Choose to realize why you're doing all the things that you do. Why do we buy gifts? Because the wise men, the magi, brought gifts to Jesus. Who's the greatest gift? Jesus. Why do we put up Christmas trees? You look at them. They're green. Reminds us of eternal life. The tree was cut down, brought into your home, and resurrected again, just like Jesus was. The needles are pointing up towards heaven. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You know, there's all these things, when you see a wreath on somebody's door, it's a circle that never ends, like eternal life that we have with Jesus. If you choose to look at the symbols of the season, there's so many great things if you choose to think of it. Otherwise, you can just look at it and be like, oh yeah, there's another nice Christmas decoration. Or you can let it remind you of the spiritual meaning. So I encourage you guys in that. That's a whole different message. But today, let's put that quote up there, Daniel, by Juliet. We're going to get a little English literature here today. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes. Without that title, Romeo, doff thy name. That's by Juliet, from Romeo and Juliet, Act 2, Scene 2, by William Shakespeare, supposedly. But we won't get into that. Juliet didn't quite get it right here. She didn't quite have it all together. I guess that's what love can do to us, right? Clouds our judgment, confuses us. We don't have good judgment. And right here, what Juliet said, I believe, was not good judgment. Sure, Romeo would smell the same and have the same perfection that Juliet saw in him without the title Romeo, right? But then he would lose his same identity. He would lose his identity. You see, Romeo was from the Montague family. Juliet was from the Capulet family. If he gave up his name, had a different name, he wouldn't belong to that family anymore. He wouldn't be Romeo Montague. He'd be something else. He would lose his identity with who he is, with his family. So who would he then be without his name? People's names are very important to them. They feel so delighted and valued when you remember their name, right? Isn't that amazing? Like when you met somebody like maybe once, and then they see you again. Oh, Paul, how's it? You remembered my name. I mean, you're like, wow. I mean, doesn't that feel good when someone remembers your name? There's nothing someone loves to hear more than the sound of their own name. Did you know that? There's nothing someone loves to hear more than the sound of their own name. That's why there was that song. Say my name. You're right? Okay, anyway. Seeing as anyone's paying attention here. Oh, good. We got a couple, like, embarrassed look. Oh. You know what drives me crazy? Okay, moving on. So, people love to hear their name. People love to hear their name, right? I used to teach elementary music. You guys already figured that out, right? Did anybody hear like me singing with the kids? I was singing a little bit. Yeah. I was trying not to sing too loudly, but keeping my pitch. But so I used to teach elementary music. Now, one year, get this, there were three boys in kindergarten whose names were, listen to this, Trevon, Traven, and Trevin. The same year, all in kindergarten. Now, you tell me, how in the world is anybody supposed to keep that straight? Trevon, Traven, and Trevin. So three different pronunciations of the same name. I frequently mixed up this pronunciation of their names when addressing each of them. And most every time, each of them would be swift to correct me. Sometimes adamantly and aggressively. Be like, Trevon, Traven! What is it, Mr. Leffen? I'm like, ugh. So, you know, I'd go home after days like that. Just go, ugh. Why do these people name their kids the same name but different? Anyway, Traven. Sorry. Oh, Trevin, or is it Trevon? Anyway, so it was hard. But name. The point is, names are a big deal. Names are a big deal, aren't they? Our identities are found in our names. And as Tyler mentioned, each of us wear many different hats and maybe even go by different names. Me, I go by, for some people, Dada. Some people, Mr. Letvin. If I'm out in public and somebody says Mr. Letvin, I'm like, okay, I had to have taught this person at some point. And then, hey, Mr. Letvin. And I've been at NDSU and I've got kids coming up. Yeah, you taught me when I was in sixth grade in Thompson. And I was like, what are you doing here? You're in college? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting so old. Thanks for stopping by and letting me know how old I am. See you later. So I go by Dada, Mr. Letvin, Pastor, Hunbun. Usually only one person calls me Hunbun. Usually. So, but I've got different names that people call me. And each of those has a different meaning for the person that's calling me that, and it gives me my identity to a certain extent, right? God also has many names. We have an amazing, wonderful, complex, infinite God who has many names. So on the name topic, let's go through some more just fun here. So Paul, some of you know this, but my name actually means small or little, humble. And you might think like, wow, that's too bad, Paul. Kind of a raw deal that you got there on your name. On the contrary, I really love this because in my younger days, and still from time to time, pride has been an issue. I think all of us can probably admit that. We've all got areas of pride. And my name, Paul, small, little, humble, reminds me to stay humble. I have a saying that I say every day when I start my prayer time. Keep me little and unknown, loved and prized by Christ alone. I have no desire to be famous. I don't want glory. I've seen how fame can destroy people when their pride is left unchecked. And I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's just, so my name is a good reminder for me to stay humble. Next one. Josiah means the Lord burns, or the fire of the Lord. It also can be translated healed by Jehovah. And anytime you see that A-H in somebody's name, that's like talking about Yahweh, like the Lord, right? So Josiah, or like Isaiah. So anytime there's that A-H, that's like the name of God, Yahweh. So a couple different translations. But I like that, and I have seen Josiah get a little fiery about things sometimes, and we are trying to teach him how to use that fire for the Lord and let that fire burn for the Lord. Next one, James. He kind of got a raw deal. Supplanter, to trip up or to overthrow. James is actually the Greek form of Jacob. Jacob is Hebrew, so it's a variant of Jacob, which means seizing by the heel. And as you guys know, the story between Jacob and Esau, even coming out of their mother's womb, Jacob was grasping at Esau's heel. And of course, we know later in life, he tricked Esau into his birthright and blessing, and tricked him. So, and it's kind of humorous that sometimes, actually, out of our three kids, James is kind of the sneakiest. He's a little, you know, Josiah doesn't really try to hide his sin, I guess, or you know, when they're arguing and stuff. But like, I'll catch James every once in a while. I'll see him do like a little, you know, and then Josiah's like, James, and then James is like, ah! You know, it's like, Josiah, what'd you do to your brother again? You know, James is just like, ah. So he can be sneaky sometimes. Anyway, next one, Jude. Praise. Jude means praise. The praised one. It's a variant of Judah. God be praised. So once again, there's that A-H. So that's for Yahweh. God. So Jude is like a shortened version of Judah. You know, God be praised. But his name just means praise. The praised one. So, and we are very thankful for Jude. He's brought lots of joy into our lives. I don't have a slide for this one, but I know you guys are curious, since I mentioned everyone else's name in my family. Haley's name means hayfield or hay meadow. So there you go. A beautiful, flowing field. Save myself on that one. All right. And then Jesus. Let's go to the next one. Jesus. More appropriately pronounced Yeshua. You know, what's interesting about this, that's the same name of Joshua from the Old Testament. So Joshua, who was the successor of Moses in leading the Israelites, that was the same name Jesus had, Yeshua, Jesus. It means the Lord saves. That's what Jesus means, the Lord saves. So now you know, when you're saying the name of Jesus, the Lord saves. That's what Jesus means. Christ means anointed one. That's what Christ is. So when you're saying Jesus Christ, you are saying the Lord saves, he's the anointed one, the chosen one. Okay? So that's what his name means. Another name that Jesus is known by was foretold by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. We read that verse earlier, but we'll read it again, and it's right in your bulletin as well. I obviously bolded Emmanuel. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You're like, wait a minute, I thought his name was Jesus. Well, it is, but he went by more than one name. So Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. If you look in the Old Testament footnote where Isaiah is, it says God is with us. If you look at this next verse, which we're going to get to, it says it means God with us. Pretty much the same thing. God is with us. God with us. So Emmanuel, God with us. So like I said, when we were singing that song earlier, O come, Emmanuel, that's God with us. Not off in some distant galaxy, not some force, a person who is with us. And to me, that's incredible. Let's look at where this was fulfilled. So Matthew 1, verses 21 through 23. Now, it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Okay, now remember this. So first, this is what the angel says to Joseph. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. That's what he says first. Okay. For he will save his people from their sins. Remember what Jesus means? The Lord saves. Okay, he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, this is what the angel of the Lord said to Joseph. In my Bible, it doesn't say what that angel's name was. It was in a dream. So Joseph was sleeping. An angel of the Lord spoke this to Joseph. Okay? Now, the angel Gabriel, it does mention his name, the angel Gabriel also appeared to Mary and said this in Luke 1:31 through 35. And those verse references are in your bulletin. If you wanted to, you could write Joseph's name next to the Matthew one. You could write Mary's name next to the Luke one. Because now the angel's talking to Mary here. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name, the everyday Bible school answer for everything, Jesus. Right? Yeah. Okay, so just like the angel of the Lord told Joseph, Gabriel told Mary, you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called, here's another name, the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, Gabriel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. So we've got a couple different identities right here. Jesus, Son of the Most High, Son of God. Okay, so that's who this child is. Now, it's interesting and notable, I believe, that both Joseph and Mary received the memo, the text message, more than that, in-person encounter, on what the name of this child was supposed to be. Both of them got the message, right? Call him Jesus. Call him Jesus. What's the name of the child supposed to be? Jesus. So the name must have been very important to God, knowing that the Lord would save us from our sins through this little baby. So he wanted to make sure that they were both on the same page. And they named this child Jesus. So some other names of Jesus were foretold by the prophet Isaiah. So let's take a look at Isaiah 9:6. This was read earlier also. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Some of you might even know that song from Handel's Messiah. I love it. So if you know it, you've got this verse memorized.
For unto us a child is born.
You guys know that one? Yep.
Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
And you know that verse. Beautiful music from Handel's Messiah. So let's take a look at each of these names here, just one at a time. So number one, Wonderful Counselor, John 14:26. So this is Jesus speaking here in John 14:26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, quick side note before I get too ahead of myself. Can we put that, go back a slide quickly to Isaiah 9:6? Yeah. So if anybody ever asks you, like, okay, where in the Bible does it talk about the Trinity? Well, the word Trinity is never used in the Bible. But if you look at this verse, okay, a child is born, a son is given. So all these things are being said about Jesus. He's Wonderful Counselor. Counselor is the word, as we just read, used for the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus is the Holy Spirit. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. So we got the Trinity right there. We got the Trinity right there. So this is talking about one person. A child is born, a son. And here's his names. Okay? So good doctrinal thing for each of us to know where you could find a verse that would support the idea of the Trinity. There's others, but that's a good start. So John 14:26. We can go back to that other slide. Whom the Father will send in my name and teach you all things and remind you of everything I said to you. Isn't that wonderful knowing that those of us, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've got a counselor who's on duty 24/7, right inside of you. And I know some of us have had difficult situations where we've had to go and get counseling. And sometimes that's needed. But know that you have the best counselor in the entire universe dwelling right inside of you if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Because right in that moment, we say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that what you did for me on the cross is the only way to pay for my sin. I'll never be able to pay for it on my own. And I ask you into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to call the shots in my life. When we make that decision to follow the Lord, bam, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us immediately. Ephesians 1:13-14, you're marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13-14, a guarantee of the deposit of our inheritance. And you have the Holy Spirit living in you. So that's one of those names. That's who this is. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We all need a counselor at times, and we all have burdens, don't we? And what does Jesus tell us in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30? This won't be up on the screen, but you can jot that down if you want. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Some of us don't even know what that word means. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if that verse is really true, why are there so many Christians, so many Christ followers that are just suffering and suffering consistently from depression, from anxiety, just needing all this extra? I thought Jesus' yoke was easy. His burden is light. We've got an understanding that just isn't there. We have the counselor living inside of us, and his way is easy. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't allow trials into our lives at times. We certainly go through difficult times. But the question is, who are you going to for help? Who are you going to with those burdens? And it needs to be Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And guess where he is? Right inside you. Right inside. That's amazing. That's amazing. Number two, Mighty God. Mighty God. John 1, verse 1 and 1:14. Okay, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. The Word is God. And the Word became a man. Wow. Wow. Jesus, now listen to this. Jesus is the mighty God who created us and the entire universe. That's amazing. What is, if you have your Bibles and want to try to flip with me, you sure can. This won't be on the screen either, but Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And from our Colossians studies, we know that word firstborn doesn't mean he was born. It means he has the authority of the firstborn. That's a commonly misinterpreted verse, especially by Jehovah's Witnesses. And by him being first, well, if you just keep reading, it speaks for itself. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is talking about Jesus. In Colossians 1, 15, 17, the world was created through the person of Jesus, mighty God. Now, something very interesting about this. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Raise your hand if you've heard of the protein laminin. Has anyone heard of laminin before? Protein? Oh, we do have a couple of people. Great. I've talked to some pretty smart, well-learned, educated students at NDSU, and I ask them this question, have you ever heard of laminin? No. I thought you were a biology student. You know, oh, no, I've never heard of laminin. Well, guess what? Laminin is the protein in our bodies that holds our bodies together. It's the sticky substance that holds our skin to our muscles. It's between our organs. It kind of, like, if we didn't have laminin, everything would be kind of just like sliding around. So laminin. Do you guys know what laminin looks like? Let's get it up on the screen, Daniel. This is what laminin looks like. Isn't that amazing? Okay, obviously the picture on the left, somebody decided to put Jesus on the cross, but you get the idea. So the molecular structure of laminin looks like this. Isn't that astounding? So the protein in our bodies that holds things together looks like a cross. Did that happen by chance and coincidence? I think not. I think not. Jesus holds all things together. Jesus holds all things together. He is mighty God. Even Thomas in John 20, verse 28 said, my Lord and my God, right? Thomas called Jesus God, okay? So Jesus is mighty God. Number three, everlasting Father. He's the everlasting Father. John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. There you go. Jesus is the Father. He is the Father. He and the Father are one. And the cool thing about this, if you look at Psalm 68, verse 5, once again, this won't be on the screen. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. Now, I realize some of us may have grown up in households where we just didn't have a great father or didn't have a father. And I feel very sorry for those people. I know that's, I don't know what it's like. I had a loving father growing up. I know some of us had abusive fathers. Some of us had no fathers. Rest in this, that Jesus is our Father. Okay? He's Father to the fatherless. And I just love that verse, and we can claim him. And of course, all of our fathers that we had, even if they were great ones, they failed at times, right? They sinned. And yet, we have a Father in heaven who never fails us. He never leaves us. He always cares about us. He always does what's best for us. And that's an amazing thing. So Jesus is our everlasting Father. And lastly, number four, Prince of Peace. This is a big one, especially for me this time of year, getting worked up about things, and my spirit is in a state of hurry and being rushed. Well, if you're like that, tune in here. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus came to give us peace so that we could be at peace. The world gives us worries. It gives us a state of hurriedness. It gives us FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Like, oh, these people do this thing. Oh, I don't want to miss it. And we're running around, and we never find rest. We're never just at peace. Jesus came to give us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Another great verse. I'd encourage you to write this down and even memorize it if you're kind of in that state of hurry like me, is Colossians 3:15. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, just as you were called to one body. Be thankful. And be thankful. So Jesus, we need to ask Jesus. We need to give him that permission. Jesus, you sit on the throne of my heart. You give me your peace today. I can't. I get too worked up about things. I get too anxious. Jesus, I want you to reign. I want you to rule in my heart and give me that peace. A good way of doing that is to be thankful. Start thanking him for all the great things that he's done. So all these names, just incredible. Emmanuel, God with us in the form of a child. Isn't that astonishing? I'm just going to close with a couple phrases here from O Astonishing Grace by Charles Wesley. O astonishing grace, that the reprobate race should be so reconciled. What a wonder of wonders that God is a child. The creator of all, to repair our sad fall, from heaven stoops down, lays hold of our nature, and joins to his own. Lays hold of our nature and joins to his own. Wow, we're invited into relationship with the Lord. Our Emmanuel came, the whole world to redeem, and incarnated showed, so he became a man, took on flesh, that man may again be united to God. Amen. And that's as Linus from Charlie Brown Christmas would say, and that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. That's why Jesus came. He came to reconcile our relationship with God, so we could be united. And that's what Christmas is. So, once again, the big idea, if you remember anything from this morning, including the name of that protein, laminin, spelled L-A-M-I-N-I-N, in case you're wondering, the big idea, enjoy Jesus, Emmanuel, this Christmas season. Enjoy him. Rest with him. Enjoy his peace. And if I don't see you next week, Submerge Church, I'd like to wish you Merry Christmas. And don't forget what it's about. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll do one last song, and then we're going to have the fellowship meal out here today. So a little change. So if you pray with me, please. Father, we thank you so much for this time. Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, your God with us. You are everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor. Thank you that we can count on you. Thank you that you're just mind-blowing, Jesus. You're astonishing. We praise you, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to focus on you this Christmas season, that we would find rest in you, that we'd find peace in you. Remind us of your name. Remind us of who you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.